O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Joan Caywell's always given me a hard time about keeping sermons within 10 minutes. And we were having this conversation a few moments ago, and I said, well, you've never kept your lectures in the classroom to 10 minutes. She said, yes, I do. What do you do with the rest of the time? I have them practice what I tell them. So that's exactly what I'm going to do this morning. I'm not sure I'm going to stay within 10 minutes. But anyway, you have the rest of your life to practice what I'm going to suggest to you. Deuteronomy and James are excellent examples of the two points of view I'm going to talk to you about. That was what the argument was about between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees about what is important in life. What is pleasing to God? The Pharisees say obeying the complex rules for piety, washing pots and washing your hands and eating kosher food and all of those things is the way you become more holy. Jesus says, nay, nay. That's not it. Those things are important. They're good. But the important thing is what comes out of you. The important thing is loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your strength, and loving each other, that's the other part of it, as yourself. He said, that's what's important. We've been on the side of Jesus for a long time, for so long that we've lost sight of respect for the Pharisees. In the gospel, I think of them the way I do of a team that plays the Harlem Globetrotters. They're not supposed to win. That's the gospel, the way the gospel writers portray the Pharisees, the scribes. They're not supposed to win. They're there so that the real stars can show their stuff. And so the scribes and the Pharisees are cannon fodder for Jesus. And he says, okay, here's the way it really is. How did these two points of view came into being? Well, we have to go back more than 500 years before the birth of Jesus. Our spiritual ancestors believed that they were God's chosen people, that God had set them apart, and God would not let anything happen to them, and that God was in the temple in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was God's holy city. And no matter what happened, God was going to take care of that. Well, that all changed in 587 when the Babylonians rode in and took over the city and destroyed the temple. Can you imagine putting all your faith in St. Catherine's Episcopal Church and you think that God is residing here and all of a sudden it's gone? Where did God go? And they were exiled for 50 years before they were allowed to get back in. And when they did get back, they had some serious thinking to do. What went wrong? We thought we were doing what was pleasing to God. What went wrong? They figured they had failed God in some major way and they had missed the point, so they were left wondering what the real point might be. Isaiah had one view. He said, here's the point. Here's what happened. You're not caring for others. You're not caring for each other. You're isolated from the world. You are not getting involved in God's work in the world. Then Ezra and Nehemiah came along and said, no, that's not it. Here's what it is. You are to be set apart. You're to have rituals. You're to have have these things that you do to make yourself more holy. You're not to be engaged with other people. It's not engagement, but avoidance that's important. And you become more holy the more things you do. Well, it's not an easy debate to resolve, and it still goes on today, by the way. Because we say, is church primarily a place where we come to be separate from the world, or is church a place where we is a launching pad for us to go out in service to the world? Or is it both? Could be both. Is it the business of the church to look after its own? Or are we really to take Jesus seriously when he says, love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your being, and love each other, is the other part of it, as yourself? Well, to make a long story short, and it's probably too late for that, that's the world that Jesus grew up in, because you see, Ezra and Nehemiah's view won the day. And so the Jews decided that God wanted them to be separate from the world and wanted them to be pure and spotless. And you did it through all of these examples of purity: washing your hands, eating kosher food, washing your pots carefully. Jesus said that's all good, but that's not the point. And guess what? When he began his public ministry and came to Nazareth in the synagogue, what did he read from? Isaiah. He read from the book of Isaiah, which says, you missed the point because you're not getting involved with other people. And he read that part in Isaiah. He chose the passage that said that he was sent to preach good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to preach to the captives, to restore sight to the blind, to set free those who suffer. The exact opposite from what they were practicing for purity. And they had trouble understanding that. After 500 years of looking at it one way, but we've had 2,000 years and we still have trouble understanding it. That Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and each other as yourself. So the basic question is, what does God expect from us? That was the question between Jesus and the Pharisees. What does God expect? As I read the scripture, it seems obvious to me that God is enormously concerned with those that are less fortunate than us. It seems that God's binoculars are always on the back row of the stragglers that are coming in. And as I read the scriptures, it seems obvious to me that God is a gathering God. As we've gathered here this morning in community, and as we go out into the community that we live in, and as we minister to other people as we leave this place, it seems to me that God is calling us into community with each other and with those outside of our circle. And as I read the scripture finally, it seems to me that it's obvious that God is a God of joy. That God wants us to be joyful in our lives. Jesus said, I've come to give you the abundant life, the joyful life that God lives in you. And we minister to other people by letting that joy shine through us. We have much to offer to other people. Jesus and the Pharisees were arguing a very basic point. What do faithful people do to be faithful? What is pleasing to God? The Pharisees had a good point. But Jesus seems to be saying that engagement in the world and engagement with each other is more important. And each of us has to figure out what that means in our own lives. You have to figure it out for yourself, because you see, each of us is unique. And we need to figure out what is our ministry, what is our service to each other and to God. Amen.